Northbrook, it's a joy to be here with you. If you don't know who I am, that is okay. I know who you are, and I am immensely thankful for you. I'm excited to preach tonight. Before we jump into our sermon, would you meet the Lord with me in prayer? Lord God, we run into your throne room. Lord, we come into your throne room, Lord, by the blood that Jesus spilled for us. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. Lord, as we spend these next few moments together, Lord, I ask for your power. Lord, I ask for your power, Lord, that you would invade individuals and meet them precisely where they are, Lord. I love you. We entrust this time into your glorious hands. In your name I pray. Amen. I moved to Milwaukee in 2018, and we came from the East Coast. And whenever you move to a new place, you just don't know where things are. And so right after we moved in, I was talking with somebody, and he was giving me directions somewhere. And in the middle of his directions, he said, "And then you go north." And when he said that, I said, "I'm going to have to stop you right there. I have no idea which way is east and which way is north, west, south. I haven't the slightest." And I said, "You're going to have to give me directions a different way." And he said, "I'm actually the same way. I'm actually the same way that you are, except here in Milwaukee, Lake Michigan is always east. So if you know where Lake Michigan is, you know exactly where east is. And if you're heading towards Lake Michigan, you're going east. If Lake Michigan is to your right side, you're going north. If it's to your left, you're heading south. And if you are driving away from Lake Michigan, you are heading west. Because the lake is always east." Now, sometimes I wish life's directions were that clear. That with something or other, you would be able to know precisely and exactly if you are heading in the right direction. Would you meet me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians 12 says this, Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 12:1. "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." And so how do you know in life if you are being led by the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul says, listen, when it comes to giftings, when it comes to these things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to know exactly where you are heading, because in the past, verse 2 tells us, you were led away. You were led astray. You were led in the wrong direction before, and I don't want that to happen to you again. So he says this, "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." In other words, the Holy Spirit always points you to Christ. He tells us in verse 3 that it is impossible. It is impossible for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be inside you. And then he goes to one very end of the spectrum. If the Spirit is inside you, it is impossible for you to say, Jesus, be cursed. It is impossible for you to play down Jesus. And then he goes to the other end of the spectrum and says, no one can claim that Jesus is Lord over every area of life unless the Holy Spirit is inside of them. So in other words, the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit inside you always leads you to Christ. The Spirit inside always points to Christ. Just like in the city of Milwaukee, the lake is always east. The Holy Spirit always directs you to Christ. So if you're not heading towards Christ, it is not the Holy Spirit who is leading you. If it takes too far to get to Christ, it is not the Holy Spirit that is inside, because the Holy Spirit always directs you to Jesus. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. There are different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit distributes them. Now, the Holy Spirit is inside. The Holy Spirit comes into you when you trust in Christ as your Savior. When you come face to face with the gospel, when you hear the good news of salvation, and you trust in Christ by faith, his grace comes and gifts you with the Holy Spirit. Now, you might expect that everybody that is filled with the Holy Spirit is just like the next person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. But Paul says there are different kinds of gifts. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not a conveyor belt pumping out replicas of the same thing again and again. The Holy Spirit is a very creative God. And he assigns different gifts to different people. You know, we tend to think that we need to have these copy and paste types of Christians. But that's not how the Holy Spirit does it. That's just not how he functions. The Spirit uniquely gifts different people with different gifts, and that is his distribution. He doesn't tap into an old cookbook and say, hey, this recipe worked again in the past. Let's get it to work one more time. He uniquely gifts each person. Each one is its own masterpiece. There are different kinds of gifts the Spirit gives to us, but it's the same Spirit who distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord, right? We're in this Share Local weekend, and there's all sorts of different types of ministries that are present, right? And that's the design of the Holy Spirit. The reason why there are different types of services and different kinds of ministries is because that is how the Holy Spirit has designed. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Lord, but there's different giftings. There's different services. There are different kinds of working. Verse 6 tells us, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. So the Holy Spirit inside us points us to Christ. And every believer is going to have that similarity because the same Spirit always points us to Christ. But the way that we live, the way that we move, the way we exist is going to be unique because the Holy Spirit does not make carbon copies. He has a unique creation every time. Now here's what verse 7 tells us. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one. Right? To each believer. To each believer. My mom, let me tell you about my mom. My mom was little from the moment she was born until the moment that she took her last breath. She was always little. Her argument is that she made it to 5 feet tall. I argue that she only hit 4'11" and some change. She was always little. She was always skinny. She was always tiny. She was always small. And when she was young, I mean, she was like little. I mean, she was tiny. She looked like a toy. And so one time she was out, or excuse me, they were out. Her family was out. My grandmother was out with them. And somebody, like an uncle, was holding my mom. Right? And again, she's like this little toy. And she's just holding my, somebody's holding my mom. This uncle's holding my mom. And then all of a sudden, he started kind of like throwing her up in the air. Right? He starts throwing her up in the air. Now, some people are cool with that. Some people are not. My grandmother was not cool with that. But I want you to see the wisdom, the tact with which she handled the situation. There's the uncle, has my mom throwing her up in the air. And my grandma walks over and she says, "You know, I only got one of those." And immediately he stopped. She said, "You know, I only got one of those. But if you break it, there's no other. It's irreplaceable. That thing which you think is okay to mishandle, I only have one. And you need to treat it with extreme care." When God looks at you, he says, "I've only got one of those. There is no one else like it. I do not have another one of her. I do not possess another one of him. I've only made one of those. And all the sanctity and dignity of this world is due to this one." When God looks at you, when God sees you, he says to the world, to the universe, "I've only got one of those." He created you uniquely. There is no other like you. Now to each one, there's only one of you. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The manifestation is given. Now to each one, there's only one of you. But the way that the Spirit shows up in your life is utterly unique. Right? The way that the Spirit shows up, the same Spirit shows up in your life, the way that he manifests himself in your life is going to be utterly unique. It's kind of like water. Have you ever marveled at water? Water's baffling. Have you ever seen water? Like, I'm serious. You take water, right? I'm serious. Check this out. Go try this at home. If you take water and add it to shampoo, it will completely clean your hair. And if you take that same water and you add it to ground up coffee, you can drink it. It's marvelous. Right? You take that same water. You take that same water and you drop it on an acorn. You'll get an oak. You add it to an orange seed, you'll get an orange tree. You add it to a pumpkin seed, you get a pumpkin. The same water shows up. And the way that it interacts with these different things gets different results. And the way that the Holy Spirit shows up in your unique life is going to be utterly unique. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for the common good. The way that the Spirit who comes in at salvation, when you trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, the way that the Spirit comes in is going to be utterly unique. But the way that he manifests himself is always for the common good. So he designed you with a greater purpose in mind than just you. You are designed uniquely. There's no one like you, but you are designed to be part of a bigger whole. And that whole is to be a common good, something that is good not just for you, but is good for all. Let's pick up in verse 11. Right, so after verse 7, he begins to say that to each one, the way the Spirit shows up is going to be unique. And there's all kinds of different gifts. There's gifts of prophecy and the gifts of faith, gifts of miraculous powers. Verse 11, we pick up, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. All these, every gift is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and he distributes, he assigns, he appoints each gift precisely as he wants. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I am asking you to trust the mastermind of the Holy Spirit. He knows precisely and exactly what he's up to. I need you to trust what the Holy Spirit is up to in your life. And I need you to trust what the Holy Spirit is up to in another's life, which will be different because he does not create replicas. He creates with purpose. He creates with intention. He has a mission for you. He determines, he assigns. When I assign things, everything goes wrong. Right? It's like me trying to teach a rabbit how to swim. Or how to teaching a snake how to hop, or a fish how to fly, or a bird how to slither. I'm not their creator. I am not their creator. I cannot assign a rabbit to swim because I'm not the mastermind who created it. The mastermind who created the rabbit has designed it to hop. He has designed the snake to slither, the fish to swim, and the bird to fly. He is the one who created, has assigned these uniquenesses. And if he does that with rabbits and snakes and birds and fish, do you not think he has a masterful purpose for you? All these are the works of this one and the same Spirit. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The Holy Spirit is putting the whole masterpiece together. And you are designed to function as a part of that larger design. Just like there is one body, there's also one body with Christ. Now verse 15 tells us this. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. Well, you and I tend to do that, right? The Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit rescues us from our sin. The Holy Spirit saves us, right? And we decide that the best way to live out Christianity is to look to the right and look to the left and see how other Christians are living and do what they do. But that's like the bunny looking at the fish and trying to do what he does. That's like the bird looking at the snake and trying to do what they do. Right? The Spirit is putting together a masterful work. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, right? If the foot looks to the right and to the left and goes, well, I don't function like that, I can't do what they do, right? Your foot is looking at the hand and it's saying, yo, I got these five things too, except my one at the end is not opposable, so I can't be grabbing stuff. I must not be a part of the body. I don't fit in this body because I'm not like you. And we come to the incorrect conclusion that somehow we do not belong in this body because we're looking at the wrong places. If you're not like the person that is next to you, it's because God has created you to be uniquely different. He did that. It's His design. And when we say, because I'm not like you, because I don't function like you, I must not belong to the body, that doesn't mean I'm any less part of the body. Verse 17 tells us, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. The reason why we are all different is because God has designed it that way. Imagine if I showed up to you here tonight, right? No arms, no legs, just eyes from top to bottom. Right, like this entire like mobile thing of just, like none of you would sleep tonight. That's out of a horror movie. But God has designed us each to be a unique part. Right, if we were all the same way, how would the body ever function? The body is not designed to function by all being the same. We're not designed to be that way. Right? My feet are designed to do the walking. Right? My eyes are designed to do the seeing. My mouth is designed to do the blah, 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 blah. Right, my rotator cuffs rotate my cuffs. And my gallbladder, I probably should have looked that up before I started. Right, we are designed as a body. Now here's the part that I don't want you to miss. Because you are not designed to be self-sufficient. Now, I know that's an American, right? Because the American way of life says, I don't need anybody, right? But you are not designed to be self-sufficient. You are uniquely designed to function as part of a body. You need the body, and the body needs you. It's how the Spirit has designed this whole thing to function. Pick up with me in verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Listen, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Even though sometimes the intentions are good, and even though sometimes it sounds very pious when people normally say, I just need God. I don't need other people. The intentions might be good. I had a friend in college who told me about his good intentions. When he was a kid, he wanted to do something nice for his parents. So he said, I'm going to wash their car. So he got out a Brillo pad and he washed the entire car. Beautiful intentions, disastrous results. Right? We say, I don't need the whole body. I just need God. And the intentions are good, but you're working at cross purposes with what God has designed you to be. And the parts that we think are less honorable or weaker, those are indispensable. Right? The parts that make no sense to you are indispensable. If you don't believe me, do this. When you go home tonight, grab a hammer and smash your pinky toe. You haven't thought about your pinky toe in years. And I guarantee that all that you will think about for the next several very long time is your pinky toe. Right? Because your entire body, you got 10 toes. You got 10 of them. You mess up that pinky, your entire body forgets how to walk. Like your arm is flailing and your knees are you forget what you're doing, because a part that you thought was not important is actually of extreme importance. Now, you don't need me to tell you, don't actually do that when you get home tonight. But you may need me to tell you that that person, that body part that seems dispensable to you is absolutely essential, indispensable, crucial to the body. Now here's how I want to finish tonight. 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit has designed this body, but we sometimes detach this from the words that come right after it, because it's important for you to understand that the Spirit has uniquely designed you. The Holy Spirit has uniquely designed you, and He has placed you in, and you need to step into that divine design that the Holy Spirit has given you. However, verse chapter 13, Paul says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, right? If I step into the way that the Holy Spirit has created me, but I lack love, even if I speak angelically, even if I'm able to match what it is that angels speak, if I am empty of love, it does not matter. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I can figure out anything that you put in front of me, if I can solve every riddle, if I can solve every puzzle, if I'm just smarter than you and I have all this knowledge, without love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It does not dishonor. It isn't self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love is the worst accountant you have ever met. It keeps no records of how you have been wronged. It does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes and it always perseveres. Love never fails. Northbrook, you were designed. You were divinely architected. You were engineered by the Holy Spirit Himself uniquely with a specific design to be a part of something much larger for the common good. And my encouragement to you is that you step into that. But the danger that Paul calls us to is that you will actually step into that and function in that way emptied of love. We need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now imagine what that looks like. An entire body fueled by the love of Christ, uniquely designed, now functioning for a common good. May the Holy Spirit make that a reality. Would you pray with me? Lord God, God, you are good. Lord, you are faithful. You are righteous. And Lord God, I want to lift up every single person that is in this room. Lord, no matter their age, no matter their background, no matter their difficulties, no matter their present trials, Lord, no matter how much they've already ruled themselves out, God, I ask that you would help each one know precisely and exactly their fit into this masterpiece you've put together. Lord, I ask that you would fuel us, empower us, embolden us with love. In your holy name I pray, Jesus. Amen.